right, good morning, my friend. Preacher John here in Lafayette, Colorado today. Just lifted my banner just a few moments ago. Both sides. As you know, this is the banner called fire. This side here says, everyone shall be salted with fire. Mark 9, verses 1 through 50 is the whole chapter. Have salt in yourselves, is what the scripture says. And then on this side, always has Jesus Christ on the top of it. And it says here, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's in Luke chapter 3, verse 1 through 38. And the chaff, he will burn. So it's a very busy day. And I just wanted to say good morning or hello. It's about 10:45 or something like that. Right on schedule to do my thing out here. All right, I'll put this down. I'll get my tripod set up and I'll do my scripture short. Then I'll do the street sermon for the day. I'll put all that away. Then I'll relift my banner and do the rest of my work that I do out here on the street. All right, so see you in a few moments. Love you. Good morning, my friend. Out on the street today, and all the noise, all the traffic, and all the people. That's where the people are, the people who need Jesus, not those who don't need Jesus. But we're in Lafayette, Colorado today. Lafayette, this is US 287. This is northbound behind the camera, southbound behind me. And we're on several different locations on 287. Last Friday, I was up there at 287 and 119 there on in Longmont. Also 287 at 5th and Main. Main Street is 287. And this road out here is South Boulder Road, major east-west corridor. And this is a very popular intersection, very popular shopping mall here, another shopping mall over here. The largest church in Colorado is about 100 feet over here. Flatirons Community Church, tens of thousands of people. I think last time I looked, it was 19,000 people when I first got to Boulder about 7 years ago. They were advertising 19,000 in about five different locations combined. But I don't know what it is today. I have no clue. But that's where I am. So let's pray. So Lord, I thank you that we can come out to the street. We can tell people where we are. We can notify people and let them know that we're here. If they want to pray, they can pray. If they don't want to pray, that's fine with me. I don't care. But I'm here to serve you, Lord. Not serve people, but serve you. We're going to find out in Scripture why I do that. And I thank you, Lord, for your word, that I can preach your word, I can minister your word, and I can teach your word, I guess. I'm not much of a teacher, but I just say thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. In your holy name, Jesus, I humbly pray. Amen and amen. All right, so I'm going to start this off with the scripture short that I did in Proverbs 28, verse number 6. That is, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. This is Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So, if you had a choice between poor and rich, I'd always take rich. Why not? But being rich or poor doesn't make you a good person. Being poor doesn't make you a good person, nor does being rich make you a good person. The good person comes from your heart. There's no money in your heart. The wealth of the world cannot be in your heart. That's something that a lot of people don't understand. They think if I get enough money, I'll be happy. Well, happiness doesn't come from the money or nor anything outside. Happiness comes from within you. And what's inside of you is your spirit. What you see on the outside is your flesh. Now the money or the poverty can do things to the outside. And oftentimes, if you are unright, even poor or rich, it's going to destroy what is the goodness that is in your heart. Because most people, I would venture to say, are good people. The vast majority of people are good people. You have to be trained and taught how to be evil. Evil doesn't come naturally when you're born. You have to be taught how to be evil. And when you're taught how to be evil, that opens the door for devils to come into the person's life. And that devil gives them the power to continue being evil that they've been taught. That's why the Bible verse says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he'll older, he will not depart from it. That's what wicked parents do. That's what wicked societies do. They train up their children in wickedness and evil, and then the devils come in to give them the power to carry out that evil in their life. So as they get older and older, they become more wicked, more evil, and many of those people die early in life. Not all of them, but many do. The reason why is because of Satan, his job, the thief, all devils. Their purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, but if you go the other way and you keep your goodness that's in your heart, and you maintain that goodness that's in your heart. Now, goodness doesn't get you to heaven, nor does evil get you to heaven. I'm not talking about that right at the moment. I'll introduce that in just a moment. But the goodness in your heart can stay in your heart if you maintain that goodness. In other words, you be a good person, like the Bible says here. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. You want to walk uprightness, upright. In other words, in a right standing manner with society and the laws of the land. You want to be a good citizen. You don't want to be a bad, evil citizen. You want to be a good citizen. You want to obey the law. You want to be nice to your fellow man. A lot of Christians don't know that. They think they're good with God and they can rip off everybody in the world thinking it's okay. I see that. Christians that run red lights, who cut people off, who don't obey the law, who speed down the road. Those are Christians that are not walking in their uprightness. They're sowing seeds of destruction and they don't know it. They don't know it. And one day that seed of destruction that they have sowed in their life, even though they're saved, they're going to reap and they're going to get into a major wreck. They could be killed in the wreck. They could be maimed and they can be halt. They can be all kinds of problems can come on them because you've left your uprightness. Your uprightness is all the time. It's 100% of the time. You don't ever take that off of you. You always walk upright. Be it poor or be it rich. That's how you be a good person. Honest and trustworthy. That kind of thing. Being kind. You know, things like that. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking, I know that you know what I'm saying. And I also know that many people drive recklessly in their cars. And that reckless driving is against the laws of God, the laws of man. And they are not walking in their uprightness. Same way they deal with their finances and their businesses and their jobs and their careers and their families and their people and their own body. They don't walk uprightly in all parts of their life. And that's why they become poor. And oftentimes the Christian will become ashamed of themselves. Yeah. So take a look at your life and ask yourself, ask God too, am I walking upright? Be it poor or be it rich? Because that doesn't make any difference. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of your heart. All right, let's pray on that. Well, Lord, I thank you that you are quickening people to look at their life, to look at their uprightness, be it rich or poor. But I pray, Lord, that you teach them and show them the proper way of living a good, holy life, a good, proper life, a good, upright life in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, to follow that up, poverty, richness, unrighteousness, uprightness, evil, good, doesn't matter. None of that will get you to heaven. There's only one single way to heaven. One single way to have life eternal. One single way to get out of the payment, the fine, that you're going to be fined when you die, and that's called the law of sin and death. You are violating that law of sin and death. Because the wages of sin is death. All right? So the only way to get out of that payment or that fine is to have somebody else pay it and have the judge dismiss it. And that comes from Jesus Christ. Just like here. You know, people ask the police officer, oh, forgive me, I was in a hurry and I didn't know what I was doing. Oh, sorry, you broke the law. Here's the ticket, ma'am. Here's the ticket, sir. Go to the judge in 30 days and plead your case to him. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge either. Neither is the police officer or the state trooper. The judge sits behind the judge's desk in the judge's chamber. Our judge, as Christians, sits at the throne of the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be judged. We will be judged. Every saint of God will be judged for the good and the bad and for what we've done in our life. The good would be the gold, silver, and precious stone that we've laid up in our treasure in heaven that we'll be rewarded for. And the bad is the wood, hay, and stubble that would be burned up. And that's not good, because a lot of us have done that and we have repented of that. And now we're doing all we can to do the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, such as this right here. This is touching people for heaven. This is ministering to God. This is doing the work of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is preaching the gospel. All that stuff is the gold, silver, and precious stones. I'll be rewarded for this event here when I get to heaven. Now, I don't know if watching this, you get rewarded. I don't know that. Because you're not doing anything except watching or listening. But I don't know. Maybe you do have a reward. I don't know. But if you give into the ministry, then you partake of the blessing of this ministry. If you don't give into this ministry, then you don't partake of the ministry. And that's just the way it is, you know. You don't pray for the ministry, then you don't reap. You don't give, you don't reap. Giving is all kinds of things, not just money. It's prayers. That's why I mentioned prayers, right? So take a look at that Proverbs 28, verse 6. Really think about that. All righty. Praise the Lord for that. That was on my heart, I guess. Today's a great day. As I mentioned in class this morning, I do a class every morning from 7 to 8. I was going to look at my pack, get my True Study book out. So every morning from 7 to 8, live broadcast, I broadcast from my studio apartment there in Boulder, Colorado, and I go through the True Study book. And that book is a tool that God gave us to get into the Word of God. Today we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it was really a good class. I had a lot to say. I talked as fast as I could to get the hour done. That's just how I minister. I follow another gentleman that I wish everybody would subscribe to and follow. And that is Above God's Name, the YouTube channel called Above God's Name, 1611. That's by G. John Rove. That's Gary John Roverino. And he's out of Phoenix, Arizona. He's been teaching all about the 1611 King James Bible. But he talks completely different than I do. He is slow, methodical, and covers the point very clearly until you know it, and then goes over it again, in different format, so that you understand. So when you're done listening to an hour of his teaching, you got it. You don't have to think about it anymore, because he put it deep inside your spirit. And he does a very good job. I've listened to probably 36 of his videos now, going through a little at a time. Last night I listened to it for an hour and a half video. And I got home from church at 9:30, an hour early. And I still wanted more. I wasn't done having church. And because I got shortchanged an hour, so I went over to Gary's channel and I got church for an whole hour, whatever it was. It was really amazing. He's totally blessed. So I got full, because I wasn't filled at church, you know? Just the way it is. So sometimes, you know, that's very rare that happens, but it happened, all right? And so you want to be full. You want to be full of the ministry that the Holy Ghost is ministering inside of you, all right? So go to his channel. That's Above God's Name. Is the name above God's name. You know, you can figure it out. And all right, so now we're going to get into our Sunday prayer letter. This is called the third day. This week is called the third day. It's Leviticus 7:17. I think that's an interesting title, third day. God bless you. And once again, I gotta explain this diagram here. This diagram here is how we're structuring the 506 Bible verses in the King James Bible that have or contain the word fire. The season that we're in is called fire all year long. We started January 1st, we'll go to December 31st, preaching with the theme of the topic of fire. So we're covering every single scripture in the Word of God, the King James Bible, on the word fire. And that's what this is. Every X represents a scripture. And we start at both ends and we use the word fire. And the fire comes in towards this center beam here. And this center beam is an ampersand. And that represents, or a symbol that indicates, a soldier of Christ. This is the best way I can do it. This is how I saw it in the spirit when I was drawing this out in January. This represents a soldier of Christ. And he's in the middle, or the midst, of the fire of God, staying pure. Soldiers of God are fully armored with the armor of God, and they can stand in the fire of God, and it won't bother them a bit. It stays pure, and they don't even have the smell of smoke on them. They stay pure. But then the soldier of Christ, right down here, stands on the Word of God. Stands on the Word of God. Wait for the police. So, stands on the Word of God, all right? But that's your rock that you want to stand on, okay? And so we're going to go into Thursday, Leviticus 7:35. I don't know what's on the back of my shirt. I've got some different things. On the back, it's funny, in the front of it, I like to have Jesus Saves or Trust Jesus. On the sides of it, I have Jesus is Lord and Fear God. Usually those are pretty standard, these three items. But on the back, I have different phrases, the ones that I've made myself. I have shelves of shirts that have been gifted to me. Praise God. God bless you guys. And so on the back, I think, sin, a fool, a sin is found, a sinner, a sin finds the fool out, or a fool finds. What does it say on the back? So whatever it says, I can't remember. I got a bunch of shirts. Something about a fool. I think that's it. Pretty sure that's it. I think. I might not be. I don't know. But anyways, so that's what those police officers was reading while I was, and that's why I waved to them, because I felt somebody looking at me. Felt somebody looking at me. Didn't know it was the Lafayette Police Department or whatever police department they're at. So we pray for all the police in all the cities. For example, here in Lafayette today, I'm not going to pray just for my corner, my location. I'm going to pray for the entire city of Lafayette. I'll pray the blood of Jesus. I'll bind devils. I'll loose to God's angels. I'll speak into the Spirit. I'll preach the Word of God in the Spirit. And I am an intercessor now today in the city of Lafayette. And that's what I do. And I lift the banner. I lift the banner, do most of the preaching. But I do all the other work in the Spirit. And that's what I do. I pray and intercede for Lafayette today in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. And that's what I am. I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm standing in the fire of God with my feet anchored solidly, steadfastly on the rock of Christ. And the rock is the Word of God, which gave us the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, uppercase, who gave us the lowercase W, the Word of God. All right. So this is Thursday, so we'll go to Leviticus 7:35. Also, I really highly encourage you to come to our class. It's really good. I've been hooking the scripture shorts with the class primarily, because it gives you a way of hooking what video does this relate to. So as far as I'm concerned, every scripture short relates to our class, and that's where I point it back to, and that's why I do that. Leviticus 7:35. All right, 7:35, and it's right there, I think. Nope, it's right here. There it is. So there it is down there, 7:35. And then the corresponding verse to that on the other side. So we're Thursday, right? That's number five, part five. So we're right there, number five. And then we're also gonna go to the other side of the soldier on Thursday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday on the center. That represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Death and burial, and Sundays represent the resurrection of Christ. That's why this looks like a cross. And Friday and Saturday are in the heart, because Jesus was 3 days in the belly of the earth. I think that's how it goes, something like that. And that's what this is right here. Okay. Or the heart of the earth, something like that. Maybe the center of the earth. heart of the earth, or whatever that goes. That's why you need to search the scriptures. Don't listen to me. Just get some ideas of what I'm talking about. Then go to your Bible. Go, not to your Bible. Go to the King James Bible and begin looking up all the verses I bring to your attention. Okay? And so it's... Because if you take what I'm... Anyways, that's another story. I don't want to go there. Holy Ghost brings me up short sometimes. Leviticus 7:35, right here, 35. And then we'll go to the other side here, and that is Luke 9:54. Luke 9:54. Praise the Lord. I've been going since about 4 this morning. Finally, I got out of bed at 5 o'clock. 4 hours of sleep. 4 hours. And I feel fantastic. 4 hours of sleep, and I could probably go 20 hours of nonstop. I could probably truck for 20 hours on 4 hours of sleep. That's usually what I used to do for my trucking career. Truck for 20, sleep for 4 during a 24-hour period. Do you work like that? A lot of people don't know how to work. Most people are pretty lazy. I'm lazy too. But when it's time to go trucking, it's time to go trucking, man. It's not time to be lazy. And I go trucking, man. I truck till I get the job done. And I get home and I crash for 14, 15 hours. But then I'm ready to go again after a couple, 2 or 3 days off. Ready to truck out again, man. And they did that for 40 years. Got 3 million miles under my belt. And wildlife, 954, Luke 954. A very wild life. I lost my place here in Leviticus. Sorry. I was thinking about trucking. Oh, Leviticus, where are you? There it is, 735. Okay. Alrighty, so 735 says this. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron. Once you get that thought, this is the portion of the anointing of Aaron. Now keep that in your mind because we're going to use that over there in Luke. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office. All right, let's talk about that for a moment. So there's a couple different parts here. So here is a verse that talks about when Aaron and his sons ministered, they were not ministering to the people, they were ministering to the Lord. And then the Lord ministered to the people. And how did the Lord minister to the people? He honored what Aaron would do, and that is to anoint, to cover, sprinkle blood for the atonement of the people's sins. He was like an intercessor, a priest, a mediator between God and man, kind of like what Moses did. And what, that's really the job of every minister. That's why ministers, and I'm talking about every believer is a minister. What you do as a minister, as a saint of God, as a Christian, you stand in the gap between God and man. That's what you do. And what do you do for man? You're interceding on their behalf that they become saved, that the Lord saves them, right? And you stand facing God, praying to God for somebody else's soul. That's one of the jobs. When I say intercession, that's what you do. We all are called to intercession. How many people do that? See, most Christians, I'm bringing up short because most Christians are taught in churches that don't teach all the counsel of God. They teach bits and pieces. The modern church, the new corrupt counterfeit church, I guess you could say, but they're Christians. They teach more about their flesh, the outer man, the garment outside, this temple that we sit in, with very little teaching in the spirit. Now, not everybody, we know that. Just generalized statement. I don't have anybody specially in mind. So when we minister to the Lord, part of that anointing that God gives us, we give it back to God. Believe it or not, we give part of our anointing back to God, and God increases that anointing because we're ministering to Him. That sounds kind of weird to say that because our anointing to minister comes from God. But according to Psalm 37:4-5, that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. And our desire as ministers is to have that anointing, to be anointed, to minister, to preach, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils. And then the next verse after that is we commit our way, we commit that anointing, we commit that desire, we commit our ministry back to the Lord, and then the Lord brings it about. That's what it says in Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Very important. You can apply that verse to just about everything in your life. So you look at this. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons. So the anointing rested on Aaron and then went over onto his sons. That's why when people come into your ministry, that anointing will rest on them. And so I caution a lot of people when they leave this anointing to be very alert. Be more alert than normal. And don't just think everything's okay, because once you exit the anointing, come out from underneath that anointing, Satan is waiting for you. That's what Jesus taught in the parable of the sower, that when the seed is sowed, like the anointing is given, then Satan comes like a fowl of the air, like a bird of the air, like a fowl, to steal that seed, to steal something from you. And so Satan is going to attack you the moment you step out from under the anointing, because the anointing doesn't last. It's just for temporary use. It goes back to God. All right? Because you don't want the anointing of God to be on your life all the time. You'll burn out. You'll burn out. So God lifts it off you. Then he puts it on you to minister. Then lifts it off you. So you kind of go, that's how it kind of goes through your life. And when you're in that, when you have that anointing on you, you can feel and sense something changed inside of you. That anointing comes. That's why a Christian shouldn't be afraid to witness to somebody. Because when you go to witness Christ to somebody that's a sinner, you'll be anointed, and that anointing will carry through as you minister to that sinner. And you won't even, it's nothing that you're doing. It's the Spirit of God that comes upon you as a Christian minister to witness, to lead somebody to Christ, or to witness, to sow a seed, or to water the seed, whatever's going on. So there's no need to have fear about approaching people. There's no need to have fear about passing out gospel tracts or publishing the gospel in some form or fashion, because that anointing will carry you through that. But that anointing must lift, otherwise it'll be too much for you to handle. Too much for you to handle. And so let it go. Don't grab it back. Don't beg for it back. Just let it go, because God will refresh it. And then when you need to minister again, he'll bring that anointing back down, and you'll have a word in season. You'll be prepared. You'll be ready to go the moment you have opportunity. Because God's eyes are always before us. He's always watching, always looking. He knows what's going on. So as you walk in Christ, not by sight, but in Christ, by faith, by trust in the Lord, you'll minister. Because in Christ is the Spirit of God. We saw that. The Holy Ghost came into Christ, so Christ is within us, and in Christ is the Holy Ghost. Right? And Christ is in the Father. So really, as a believer, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost within us. That's what Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead, was in Christ bodily. We can be to that point. We can operate in the fullness of the Godhead, not in the Trinity doctrine, in the Godhead. All right? That's another teaching there. All right? So then we go back to Luke. Understand, I'm outside. Very noisy out here. That's kind of why I'm talking pretty loud, because I can't hear myself. I'll put my earplugs in just a little bit. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. Forgot the verse. 954. All right, 954. Where are you? Car 54. Where are you? I used to be a television show as a kid. Car 54. Where are you? Car 54. That's a California police car number 54. Car 54. Where are you? That's funny. Luke 954. That's crazy. And when his disciples, that's Jesus, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Let me read that one more time, because I was kind of stumbling around there. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? So you'll see right there that they had an anointing to call down fire from heaven. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask permission from Jesus to do that. and they gave a Bible reference to Elias. So you can see that they were operating in the Word of God with the anointing of the Word of God, standing in front of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And then, but if you go down a little further into the story, you'll see that Jesus rebuked them. Because sometimes ministers, when they have that anointing that comes on them, they will do things that they shouldn't do. They will add to God's word, they'll add to God's ministry, they'll add to the calling of God, they'll add to something, or they'll take away. They won't finish, they won't complete what God has told them to do. If God says to lay hands on the sick, and there's a sick person there, and you don't lay hands on the sick, you're anointed. You have shortchanged that anointing. You have done something that you shouldn't do when there's somebody there that needs a healing. Now, if they receive their healing, it's up to them and God and their faith, but you have to have faith to go pray for them. That's your faith, to pray, to lay hands. And then if there's a devil there, you cast that devil out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that devil will leave. Do that kind of work. That's part of the works of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just preaching the gospel. I don't know why I can't get that through to people's minds, but they are blinded to that ministry. And it's in the Word. They say, go into all the Word and preach the gospel. Well, there's more to it, because all these signs will follow that preaching. The first one is they'll be saved. People will be saved. Yeah? And then there's the others. But for some reason, people choose not to receive all the anointing of God. The anointing comes when you begin to preach the gospel, and all these signs will follow that anointing. Right? But you can do something wrong. And that's why you'll be rebuked. If you're rebuked now, I'm, in a sense, rebuking the Christians, the ministers and preachers who refuse to do the other work that we're called to do, which is to lay hands on, to heal, to set free, and to teach and preach and those things like that. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, to speak with new tongues. Yeah, that's part of the job. Part of the job, because you need that sometimes. Because Romans 8 says you don't know what that person needs. But the Holy Ghost, who searches the hearts, knows what's needed, and you pray in the Holy Ghost. But if you refuse that part of your anointing, then you cannot know what's in the heart and mind of another person. You're just pretending. You're just pretending that you know. I'm serious, man. I operate in all the gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit moves, as He has will, what He needs me to do. I operate in that because I have the fullness of the Godhead. I'm not missing the Holy Ghost. And I have all the fullness of the Holy Ghost in me. I mean everything. But I don't violate that anointing, that call. I don't call fire down from heaven when somebody flips me off. I don't command them to die. I don't do any of that stuff. And that's what they were doing, James and John was doing here. I don't violate that because I've been doing this a long time. So the Holy Ghost has taught me how to walk in that anointing, right? And that's what's happening here in Leviticus chapter 7, right here in 35. 35, yeah. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons and of the anointing out of the offering of the Lord made by fire, right? You can point that back to when John the Baptist said, and he, the one coming after him, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With the Holy Ghost comes the anointing to preach and to minister and to teach comes from the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Lord. That's your power source, not your ability to eloquently talk. You can tell that by me. I'm not eloquent in talking. I slur all my words, I mix words up, and I jump from one sentence to the next. I have a lot of run-on sentences. I don't know where to put my punctuation in my sentences. I just talk. But I'm not relying on my physical ability to deliver the message. But I'm speaking clearly enough that I know that you can understand the words that I'm speaking. And more specifically, I'm not speaking to your brain, to your mind. Because as far as I'm concerned, the God of this world has blinded most people's minds to the gospel, to the word, to the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So therefore, I'm going past your mind and I'm dropping that into your spirit. And that's why I talk the way I talk, because I'm speaking to your spirit by the power of the Spirit. It's not my spirit. But my spirit's empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And so I deliver that word. Because I pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Holy Spirit. I build myself up on my most holy faith. Beloved, you know, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's what I do. I did that this morning for an hour and a half, praying in the Holy Ghost. I was building up my most holy faith. Do you do that? Or do you just ignore that verse? See, most ignore that verse because there's so much in the Word of God that pertains to the Spirit of God, which comes, our anointing comes from the Spirit of God. Right? Did Jesus do any miracles, wonders, and signs before the anointing of the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. He was about 30 years of age when he got baptized. And when he got baptized, the Holy Ghost came and filled him. Right? And then he started on his ministry. First part of his ministry was to be tempted. The three major sins that Gary talked about in one of the videos on Above God's Name. It is noisy. I tell you, what I do out here is totally against my normal nature. Everything I've been doing for 7 years is completely opposite of what I am. With the makeup of what God made me to be, because I can't stand noise. Noise just drives me crazy, and I just have to deal with it constantly. It gets me tired, and that's why I have earplugs in, but that doesn't help a lot too. And all the smell and the noise and the pollution, and it's just... But ministry is never convenient. It's never be on your timeline. Your ministry is on God's timeline, not yours. So you can see that these two verses are very similar in nature and character. Not just with the word fire, but with the word anointing and the anointing of Elias to be able to call down fire. Because Elijah did call down fire, and fire came out of heaven. What happened? Elijah is a very special prophet of God. Elijah is one of those men that didn't die in the beginning. Yeah, he was caught up in a whirlwind of fire, I think, something like that. Then came down, and God sent him back to do a job in John the Baptist. The spirit of Elijah was in John the Baptist. How about that? Even had his nature. John the Baptist even had the nature and the character and the look of Elijah. Very similar. But their ministries were a little different, but not totally different. It's really amazing when you look at that. But Jesus said not everybody's able to receive that, and that's fine. I receive it. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can preach your word out here on the noisy street corner, on the highways and byways and hedges, to compel people to come into your wedding. I thank you, Lord, that you've sent us out here to the public, not into a building, we were last night, but we come out of the building, out to the public. We don't stay in a building. We don't just stay in the Bible. We take the Bible out to the street, and we ourselves come out to the street. We bring our temple out to the street, and we lift the Word of God, and we'll lift it on our banner, and we'll intercede in the Holy Ghost for every single soul, not missing one soul through this day, and covering Lafayette with the Word of God, praying and interceding for every soul here in the city of Longmont, every church here in Longmont, every soul here in Longmont. To your glory, Father, we pray. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, that's it for today. God bless you, man. I love you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.